Obviously, there is more to beer than meets the eye, as beer lover Luke Robertson reveals in his latest book, Keg Bottle Beer, which looks at the best brew for every occasion. Earlier, Veronica Matheson chatted with Luke about the book, which is being released this week to coincide with International Beer Day on Friday.
Luke, it's good to have you on the show today, and I'm hoping you will give me a few pointers on beer. It used to be a breeze shopping for beer. It was either VB or Heineken or similar, but now there's so many choices. What is the consumer supposed to do?
Well, I guess buy my book would be the first thing. I think one of the great things, you know, we do have all this choice, but the beer industry is full of people just passionate about sharing the product. You know, there's so many people that are in the industry that aren't here for the money. They're here just because they love the product, and that's probably where I'm at. I really like beer, and I love to talk about it. So, yeah, find someone that knows a little bit and ask them what they recommend.
And there seems to be sort of new craft beers, breweries opening every day. I think you've said there's more than 400 breweries in Australia right now, and they keep coming. How do we know which ones are good and which ones are not?
When you look at how many wineries there are in Australia, there's over 1,000. And, you know, it is confusing, I guess, buying wine, and it's getting that way with beer as well. A good piece of advice is always to try something local first. If it's coming local, it's going to be fresher. It hasn't travelled across oceans. You might even be able to go down to the brewery and have a beer with the person that's made it, which is always probably the best way to taste a beer. If someone spent the weeks putting it together and then they poured it for you over their bar, they're going to be proud of what they've done. And I think that's the thrill for me is getting to meet these people that are, they've got a small business, they're passionate about it, and they're presenting their product that they're really proud of.
You've just put together a book, which is appropriately called Keg, Bottle, Can, that looks at beers for every occasion. Is beer really suited for every occasion?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I think we just place beer in this kind of, you have it after work or you have it with mates, but you never have it in a celebratory occasion, or you don't have it with a nice dinner party. And I think there's so many beers out there that really do suit those occasions. Like a dinner party with, a few friends where normally you'd share a bottle of wine. There are beers that will have, really exciting flavour, and they pair with food really well. And everyone that enjoys flavour and tasting different things will find something in there that they like.
So if you were at a dinner party, would you serve beer in a bottle or would you go to a glass?
The best advice is to pour every beer into a glass. Like a wine, you want to pour your wine into a nice glass and get the full aroma and the full flavour of all that. And that's the same with beer. If you're drinking it out of a can or a bottle, you're cutting off the smell, so all the aroma is lost. And I still enjoy drinking a beer out of a bottle. There's something sensory and kind of fun about that. But, if you're at a dinner party, I drink a lot of my beer out of wine glasses for that reason.
Beer, now, you're almost saying that with beer is very similar to wine, in as much as, you can sniff it and you can tell, where it comes from and what the ingredients are. Is that sort of the case?
Beer is slightly different because the ingredients sort of will come from around the world for a lot of beers. So, they might use a little bit of German malt and then hops from America or New Zealand. So it doesn't really have the terroir that people talk about in wine, but there are brewers that are exploring, growing all their own grain on site and growing their hops on site and using native yeast or wild yeast, and that's kind of sort of starting to reemerge as an exciting way to do it. And there are brewers around Australia that are experimenting with native wild yeast and native ingredients. So that's a really cool facet as well.
Tell me, what's the difference between a lager and an ale?
Basically, when people talk about it, they're talking about where the yeast sits in the ferment. So it's really just down to the different sorts of yeast. Most people assume that lagers are lighter and easier drinking and ales are heavier, but the lines between those are sort of increasingly blurred. And when you look at, say, Germany, where the term lager actually comes from, that just means that beer's been stored cold for a certain amount of time. So there are German beers that we would consider ales in Australia and other parts of the world, where in Germany they're referred to as lagers. So it's kind of a confusing two terms, and that's kind of why I try to avoid dividing the beer into categories like that, because once you sort of look at them, they're kind of pretty meaningless for most consumers. The lager yeast or ale yeast, that's up to the brewer what they use. And once it gets to a glass, it's, you know, it really matters what they've done with the other ingredients at the end of it. So I try and avoid breaking beers down into those two categories for that reason, because there are also like really dark, heavy lagers, and there's light, easy drinking ales.
Should you serve beer icy cold, or is there a time when a warm beer is acceptable?
Yeah, definitely. Temperature plays a huge role. There's some beers in the book, particularly darker or stronger beers, that I recommend people leave out of the fridge for an hour or so before they actually open it up. And that's just to basically let the flavours, like the malt flavours especially, as the beer warms, they really come through as a little bit sweeter and a little bit more rounded. Whereas if you get a dark beer that's 8 or 9% alcohol and drink it cold, it's going to taste a little bit sharp and a little bit unpleasant. But as that beer warms up, you'll get those sweeter flavours. You know, like a red wine, it has those kind of bigger rounded flavours compared to a chilled white. So you want to really let those express themselves. So I guess when people say warm beer, they really mean cellar temperature. So, 10 degrees is probably the optimum for a lot of those beers.
And what about cans over a bottle? Like I would tend to think can maybe has a little bit of a metallic taste that might influence the beer itself.
Yeah, that's kind of a myth that's been persistent for a while, and I think a lot of people think that, and I probably did at one time as well, but cans these days are all lined with special lining, so the beer doesn't actually come into contact with the can itself. The benefit of cans is they keep all the light out, so light's a big problem with beer. That's why green bottles and clear bottles are actually not a good thing for beer, because it reacts with sunlight, and light reacts with some of the ingredients. Canned properly, the seal that it creates around the beer is completely shutting out oxygen as well. So if you want your beer in the best condition, cans are absolutely the way to go. And the industry is starting to realise that, and you're seeing a lot more beer in cans now from premium producers. The other benefit is they're light. So, a 24-pack of cans is easy enough to carry versus a 24-pack of bottles, which is quite heavy. So when you think of shipping, you can ship a lot more for the same amount of weight. Cans are a great thing, and I'm all for them.
There's a difference, is there, between a craft beer and a more commercial one? I mean, is there an obvious difference, or is it just relative?
It's relative, really. It's a lot of it comes down to ownership, and people. There are sort of craft beer associations which talk a lot about the ownership of the product. So beers like Carlton Draft and VB, they're all owned by a huge conglomerate. I think that company owns 30% of the overall beer market in the world. They own smaller breweries that make great beer, really well made, aged in barrels or using modern techniques. That are still great, and you could consider them craft beer, but a lot of drinkers wouldn't because of the ownership.
Yeah.
So it's one of those terms I try and avoid using it because, there's beer that I like and there's beer that I don't like. It's all value judgment for me.
What about price? I mean, if you pay more for a beer, does that mean it's like a wine, the more expensive wines are better than the inexpensive ones?
No, probably not. It's a bit of a tough one. Craft beer and independent beer is inherently more expensive just because of the economies of scale. And, the taxes in Australia are quite hard to run a small business on, so they have to charge a lot more. Kind of hard to put a hard and fast rule on price.
Australians have always been beer lovers, but of late we've been tending more towards wine. Is that changing again, do you think?
No, I think beer is, by last, so it's still declining, overall consumption. But within that, the premium beers, as they call it, things like Corona or Heineken, they're selling more. And then craft beer, smaller independent beers, are selling more as well. So overall, the trend's going down. But I think people are, like they probably did with wine sort of in the 90s, are realising that there's a lot more exciting flavour out there rather than just, a box of dry Chardonnay. They want to explore those, and I think that's what's happening now.
Yeah, and there's also a little bit of that sort of gimmick with beers, isn't there? I mean, you can get a ginger beer, you can get, a bacon-flavoured beer. Is that sort of just all, gimmick, or is it sort of an authentic trend?
I think it's 50-50. I think there are a lot of those beers that would be seen as gimmicks that have, you know, some weird and wonderful ingredients that are actually really good and they are in demand. There's some breweries that certainly sell a lot of, there's this new style called milkshake IPA that people are doing that's kind of got fruit and different ingredients like that, and that's really thick and quite sweet. And the packaging will look very gimmicky, but the beers are, you know, really well made, and it's using some interesting techniques.
Do you advise people to sort of, you know, beer drinkers to go tasting different varieties to realise how different, you know, beer can be?
Yeah, for sure. And there's a lot of festivals around that really highlight those kind of weird and wonderful tastes. And I think a lot of time it gets people interested. You know, you've just had the pot of beer in your local pub all your life, and then someone pours you something that tastes like an ice cream in a nice glass, and you think, okay, this is completely new, and you know, it kind of shakes people awake. And then once you kind of get people interested, you can sort of introduce them to all these unique and delicate styles out there as well.
So, how did you get interested in beer?
I've always enjoyed flavour and cooking and food. Went and studied journalism, then moved to Australia. I'm from New Zealand originally, and was studying part time. And for that study, I had to start a blog, and I thought, well, I really enjoy beer, and if I, you know, keep it going, maybe someone will send me some free beer one day. And from there, it kind of snowballed, and here we are.
There you are, and you've written others, but your latest book, Keg, Bottle, Can, is being released, I think, this week.
Yeah, August 1st, in all good bookstores, I'm told.
All good bookstores. And
I've tried to make it as approachable for anyone to pick up, and, you know, if you're having a dinner party and you're not sure what to have, there's 15 great ideas in there, you know, for any occasion. And there's also a lot of food matching as well, and I talk about how to age beer if you want to keep a beer for a special occasion, you know, 2 or 3 years down the track. We can absolutely do that. And I talk about glassware. So all these basics, looked at them in the book and pulled them apart and tried to give them, offer something approachable for everyone who's interested.
Luke, it seems as if it's going to be a great read. Thank you very, very much for your time.
No worries. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the chat.
That was Luke Robertson, talking with Veronica Matheson about his latest book, Keg, Bottle, Can, which has been released by Hardy Grant Books to coincide with International Beer Day on Friday.